Let's give thanks to God for mothers a big round of applause. Yeah. And what a fun way to celebrate. And my goodness, to hear the stories, 26 hours. Wow, that's something. I'm grateful to be a man. Yes, indeed. We have hard work too, but not like that. You know, just looking around the room, I'm just reminded of just how wonderful it is to be part of the family of God and to be here with you, to worship with you, to celebrate with you. And Mother's Day is really such a special day. And let's take a moment first and pray and give thanks to God for his faithfulness. As Pastor Eugene said, you are a faithful God, and to you and you alone be all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for loving us, for being our God and our creator. And the first way in which we experience that love in this life is through the womb and the nurture, just the life itself through our mothers. And so we pray as we delve into your word, walk into your word, that you would bless this time, allow us to worship you, and to see that you are a God who sees. You're even a God who hears. And we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
It's a delight to worship with you and to reflect on God's word with you. And Mother's Day, and Lord knows we'll have opportunities later, him say the same, to celebrate with your family. And I look forward to doing that with my own. Hearing Mother's Day and thinking about some of the different categories that were shared. Mothers are often like a potluck dinner. And I don't know about you, growing up, whenever it was potluck day, it was a fun time for me because it was just a buffet of food. Like, goodness, okay, we got our cake over here, and we got our fried chicken over there, and, you know, we have some vegetables over here, but there's a little bit of something there in its uniqueness. The salty and the sweet. And growing up, I recall that you'd have the dessert table and people are going through and there's that one dish that everyone was lined up to eat, and just keeping it very much 100 here, there was also that dish that no one really didn't want to enjoy. And so God has blessed us in his word to show us a variety of people in very interesting ways, and we're going to get into that when we get into the book of Genesis, looking at the patriarchs, Abraham and his wife Sarah, and then the servant brought in their household, Hagar, and her story. And one of the most wonderful things about God and his word is that he's God and he's infinite, and as high and transcendent as he is as creator, he sees us. And I hope that may be a comfort for you. Mother's Day can be a bit of a mixed experience, if we're honest. I love hearing that story about being on the plane, and mom had the opportunity to get a first class seat, but not without her son. And I imagine there's a few of us in here who could raise their hand and say, you know, my mom was like that. I think about my mom. Thank the Lord she's still with us in Oklahoma with my sister. Whenever it was game day, whether I was playing basketball or running track, I'd look down the hallway, I'd see this wee-sized lady carrying a big bag, and I knew inside of it was going to be a sub and some juice and some cookies for her growing boy that she wanted to make sure I had something to eat after I played that game and I was on a long ride home. Then she didn't have to do that. But she would do that, and she'd also put extra in for the kids that didn't have anything. So it was like, you know, I'm with my buddies, and they say, oh, here comes Mrs. Clemens. And she was a mom not just to me, but a mom to other kids too. And maybe that's your story. Your story might not have been that you had the mom that wanted to have you in first class with you. And I say this respectfully, some moms would have gotten that first class and were like, see you later, son. Can we be honest? And that's not to dishonor them, but may I just say, putting the focus back where it ought to be, onto the God who gives us life, and by looks of it, we're all alive in here, you know, that we should honor them too. And one of the stories in the Bible that I go to from time to time is this interaction between Abraham, the father of faith, his wife Sarah, who God blesses her, and they have a moment of doubt, and they kind of take things into their own hands, and it creates an issue. And just to see how God can work through our problems and predicaments to bring forth his promise and his principles. And if you're one that takes notes, turn with me to the book of Genesis, and I want to thank the folks there working the slides. And for a brief meditation this morning, Elroy, the God who sees you in your wilderness. And this indeed is not just for mothers who work hard and sometimes silently late at night when no one sees, early in the morning, but for all of us to know that we have a God who loves us and sees us. I'm going to pray again. Father, in the name of Jesus, our times are in your hands. And I pray that your children would receive from your word what you want for them, not I, but to you and Christ alone be glory, honor, and praise. And may the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. Amen. Amen. Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had not borne him a child, but she had an Egyptian slave woman whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please have relations with my slave woman. Perhaps I'll obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And so after, take note of these words. And so after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian, her slave woman, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as his wife. Then he had relations with Hagar, and she conceived. And when Hagar became aware that she had conceived, her mistress was insignificant in her sight. So Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be upon you. I put my slave woman into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was insignificant in her sight. May the Lord judge between me and you." But Abram said to Sarai, "Look, your slave woman is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, Sarai's slave woman, from where have you come and where are you going?" And she said, "I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." So the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count." The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are pregnant, and you will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. But he will be a wild donkey of a man." That's a heck of a description, right? Just a pregnant pause there. You wouldn't want that on your tombstone. "He was a wild donkey of a man." Don't go around calling anybody that, but this is what the Lord described Ishmael. "His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live in defiance of all his brothers." Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are God who sees me." There's the Elroy. And she said, "Have I even seen him here and lived after he saw me?" Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore a son to Abram, and Abram named his son, to whom Hagar gave birth, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Side note, even the name Ishmael means God hears. God hears, and indeed he does. We're going to linger in these scriptures for a moment, and if you are one that takes notes or even just to reflect on aspects of the scripture, Bible says all scripture is inspired by God, It's not a man invention. It's God breathed, theopneustos. God put his word on the lips of the writers to share about himself. Moses is understood to be the author of these words. And we're looking at the foreparents of the nation of Israel, as well as the Ishmaelite peoples. Jesus made a profound statement about his kingdom. He says, many will come from the east. Let me get our, here we go. The east and the west, because y'all out here, to sit at the table of Abraham. So there are people who love Jesus Christ and worship him from literally all around the world. And we're seeing a little bit of a hint of this. Now, if you take notes, the problem, the predicament, the promise, and the principle. And by the way, principle is something that is true. It's timeless. It's foundational. And it can be applied in different contexts, but it is firm. God's word is that. The problem. God made a promise to a man who is very old, called Abram from the Ur of Chaldees, calls him out of a pagan environment, and he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. And in you, I'm going to make your name great. All the families of the earth are going to be blessed by you. And one of the titles of the Messiah of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is Son of Abraham. And so we're seeing the infancy, the early journey of Abraham. But Abraham, although listed as this great person of faith, he was a man just like you and me. But yet he had faith in God, and it was counted as righteousness. And he had questions. God, how am I going to be a father, and I'm old, and, you know, the equipment's not working. Can I say that? I'm elderly, and he had a time in Scripture, you could read earlier in Genesis, he thought, well, I have a servant named Eleazar, and maybe he's going to be the one. That's somewhere around Genesis 17. And God reminds him, Genesis 15, I will bring about my promise, even though there's this problem of being elderly and not being able to have kids, humanly speaking. And I mention this because we don't want to beat up on Sarah in this area, but human doubt is a real thing. How am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to raise these children? How am I going to raise my children's children? Because there are some mothers in here, or maybe watching online, who are raising another generation. There's some grandparents who are raising their kids' kids. And so back to this problem, Sarah, who was barren, and she's getting old. And as we read in Genesis 16, she says, see now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please have relations with my slave woman, and perhaps I'll obtain children through her. Now, problems are real in this life. And many a mother has had to face them, and sometimes alone. But may I say to you, that the God who sees also sees our problem too? Have you had to face a problem and you wonder, is this something that God will help me with, or am I on my own here? And so, not to read too much into this, she says, the Lord has prevented me. And now she takes a step further and decides to do something that in the ancient Near East, and I hope y'all are okay with this, it was a common practice that when there were wars or a nation was defeated, sometimes people were brought in to be servants and slaves. That was one way. Or a person may have been in debt and sold himself into it to be free. A wonderful thing about the God of the Bible, one of the hallmark events in Scripture is how he liberated the slaves from Egypt. So he indeed says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. So the ideal of flourishing is to be free in Christ. and that we have a new master, which is the King of Heaven. Can y'all follow with that? Because human bondage is not so good. And we can go down a long discussion on that. And so the problem that's being faced is not just also with Sarai and Abram, but now we have Hagar, who's from Egypt. And by the way, Egypt's a lovely, wonderful place to visit. Beautiful, great history. And this woman is brought into the home, and she has a problem because she's being asked to do something that in that culture, sometimes that was done. I think today you have in vitro fertilization and so forth. And so it was a practice in the ancient Near East, if someone could not have a baby, or they would opt for the servant girl to carry and bring it to term. Now, not just the biological aspects of the problem here, there's a bigger problem, and I wonder if anybody sees it. The problem is that they're doubting God. Yes. Can you see that? Yes. That's at the root of the problem. Because when we doubt God, if I could be so bold to say, and then we go and take matters into our own hands, then the problem goes from a problem to a predicament. And it just got bigger. I love my family. I love the folks who helped raise me. And you know, it's something about when people know you from way back when, they can kind of speak to things. May I say that when a problem is faced, one of the best things to do is to pray. And if you had a mother or father or family member that was their default to pray, you are blessed. And you saw a pattern of, I don't know what to do, but God does. That's a blessing. There are times and moments of weakness, or sadly, in patterns of living where many make decisions like Sarah. I don't know what to do, but let me come up with an idea. Let me seize control and then hatch a solution to a problem that makes the problem not better, but worse. Now we have a predicament, because did anywhere in this conversation did Sarai get the idea from God? And they noticed that it said that when she brought it to her husband, Abram, like most men, he said, okay. But did it say he hearkened to the voice of the Lord, or hearkened to the voice of who? His wife. Now, this may not be a very popular Mother's Day message. Please don't hit me with tomatoes or anything. But even with God's servants, God was able to see them, and he was able to really meet them where they were at and fix a situation that they made. Because they both together to do something that was outside of God's will. Excuse me, let me say it correctly. That was more about their will. And he has relations with Hagar. And the predicament, more directly, if you notice, when Hagar became aware that she conceived, her mistress became insignificant in her sight. It's the look, the down look. It's the despise. Let me try to make it more clear. Maybe you have a business, husband and wife, and you decide, you know, we're going to expand the business. Let's hire so-and-so. And you're not quite sure. You don't pray about it. And then you bring the person on. And then later, they then begin to look down upon you and mistreat you. Those things happen. And humanly speaking, she was in a position where she went from being a servant in a subordinate role, and with that, maybe the benefits of subsistence, of food and provision. But now she's like, well, since she gave me her husband, I think maybe I'll just take the family too. And that can happen not just with late. People can in their, whether it be pride or in desperation, or maybe she, like them, I'm in an enslaved state, but now I have a chance to be a master. not trying to psychoanalyze, but you can go from a problem to a predicament by not trusting God. But let's look at God in this. As she was mistreated now by Sarai, and she's off in the wilderness, that would be the desert, the Lord meets her there. Verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, by the way of Shur. Where have you come from and where are you going? The covenant-keeping God, capital L, capital O-R-D, meets Hagar in her deepest moment of distress. He sees her. This is a compassionate God who sees not just Hagar, but he sees you. And he sees me. And isn't it good to know that he sees us in our totality and also when we fall short? This same God, Elroy, means God who sees. He has compassion for the unseen and the forgotten. And if he was like that then, is he like that now? Yes. And notice that that same God who saw her gives a promise. In verse 10, he says, I'm going to multiply your descendants so that there'll be too many to count. So yes, God had a promise for Abraham and Isaac, which would go, but he also had a promise towards Ishmael. Later in the Genesis account, it even said that there'll be 12 sons that would be born from that line. The covenant, no doubt, would stay with the lineage of Isaac. But what I'm trying to emphasize today is this story points to the character and the nature of God, that we would trust him. He sees and he makes a promise and he keeps it. Well, even through a hard circumstance. This Mother's Day, as you sit and reflect, and maybe your mom has gone on to glory, and you might be able to recall how God brought her through some tough moments. You may be able to remember her sacrifices, and you'll be able to praise God because you can see the evidence that God saw. I'll share a story. My father was born in 1928, Albany, Georgia, and his mom passed away when he was in his early 40s. And when he moved up north to New Jersey and was living there, there was an older, great woman in the church who, she was called Aunt Georgie. And Aunt Georgie was, every bit almost 30, 40 years older than my dad, but she was our aunt. And as a kid, I couldn't figure this out. I was like, well, is she grandmom's sister or what is this? And she was like a grandmother to me. And those who know me, I love swimming, scuba diving, all that. And Aunt Georgie would take us to the beach. And as I got to about 12, I was at Aunt Georgie's house. I think I was mowing a lawn or something. And I was like, well, how is it that you're related to us? I couldn't figure it out. Because she, to this day, even when I say a woman, it doesn't come out right because that's my Aunt Georgie. But I found out that we had no biological relations. She raised a family in the church. She had one daughter who went into basically a cult and so forth and disowned her. So she had no family but God's people. And one of the first persons I heard the gospel from was my Aunt Georgie. I mean, loved us, showed up at games. This is my Aunt Georgie. And I thank God. I know my mom would say the same because when we had hard times and couldn't quite make ends meet, here's Aunt Georgie coming to the house with some groceries. And I have to tell you, I can remember being 12 years old and kind of, it's like, Aunt Georgie, that. And she sat me down and explained it to me. And I was really shook for a while because she was a mom to my dad. She was a mom to my mom. And in some ways, a mom grandmom to me. I mention this because this obscure story that I'm testifying to is relating to a principle that the Bible says, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He is a father to the fatherless. He is a judge for widows. He saw Hagar in her desperation. He saw Abraham and Sarah, who dealt with the shame of not having children, and he met them right where they were at. And through the son of Abraham, Jesus Christ, he saw and sees a woman at the well. He saw Zacchaeus up in that tree. And when we mired in our sin, destined towards hell, he saw you and me and gave his life at the cross. He's a God that sees. God saw Hagar suffering. And fellas, forgive me, I know I'm bouncing around a little bit, and he sees yours and mine too. So on this Mother's Day, and I don't want to be gloomy or dim, you may have wonderful, wonderful stories to cherish, and I do too. I hope you're able to celebrate them with a sense of freedom. And at the same time, appreciate God who sees and he deals with our situations by delivering. As I come to a close, God seeing is not passive. He acts to deliver, to restore. And he would do that through the children of Israel, as I shared earlier, when he sent Moses to Pharaoh to let my people go. And some thoughts. In the life of Christ, an infinitely all-wise, all-knowing God who sees, knows, and loves us infinitely. And when you feel invisible, and for you mothers who may not get a thank you, or maybe a few dads as well, you're not invisible to him. Every struggle, every tear, every hope, and indeed, you can go forward today trusting God, that God sees, God knows, and he cares, and he does it actively for you and for me, and that we can walk in that confidence. I bring this to a close and invite the team to lead us. So where are you today? Have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is he the one that you invite into your life, not only to see, but to act and to lead? Can you relate to Sarah that sometimes when doubt creeps in, the desire to take control can rise up?
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Sorry about that. Siri's trying to join the message too. None like AI. Sorry about that. But God sees and he knows. So as I pray for you, let's do that. Father, we look to you and we give you thanks on this Mother's Day for the rich, wonderful things you've done in our life. As we reflect on Sarah and Hagar and Abraham's story, you're a faithful God. And the principle is true that you are God with all knowledge and infinite sight, and you hear us. And so in the name of Jesus, I pray your blessings on your people. And any that may struggle with feeling invisible on this day, may they know that you are there. And as we celebrate today, as we reflect on who you are, may there be a wonderful celebration of your faithfulness. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.